हरे ओम श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानामालयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं यतश्च नित्योऽहमतो न चान्यथा विकारयोगे हि भवेद् नित्यता सदा प्रभातो हमतो हि चाद्वयः विकल्पितं चाप्यसदित्यवस्थितम् अहम् नित्यः आई एम टाइमलेस आई एम एटर्नल व्हिच मीन्स आई एम टाइमलेस यू सी आई हैव डिस्कस्ड दिस टाइमलेसनेस एडिक्वेटली But still feel like reminding that you can step out of the process of time. Okay? You see, suppose here is a person, he is bedridden, suppose, bedridden. And so his mind is racing. Mind is a rajoguna, it is very active. It wants to take the body to different places and do different things. That is what the mind is. But he is bedridden, he or she, bedridden. And so what the mind wants cannot be fulfilled by the body. There is a gap between the body and the mind. And that is the source of all suffering of the person. There are two sufferings now. One is the suffering arising out of the illness of the body, and second is the suffering arising out of the emotional pain arising out of the gap between the mind and the body, between the demands of the mind and the inability of the body to live up to those demands. When the person is young or in the middle age, this kind of schism between the mind and the body is not very pronounced. Body is able to live up to the expectations of the mind. Therefore, you don't see, you don't feel the crunch, you don't feel the suffering. But when the person becomes sick, now comes all the problem. Generally, it is understood, it is generally estimated that 90% of the suffering of a sick person is due to the mind's problem only. It is not physical as much as it is mental. So, the physical pain could be inevitable. Like you go to a dentist and you are lying down on the dentist's chair and they will do all kinds of things. Some physical pain will be there. That may be inevitable, but mental suffering is needless. You need not go through all that suffering. So how to avoid this suffering that the mind creates for us all the time? Very simple. All suffering arises from the mind. And I will change the language a bit. All suffering arises from time. Not the physical time, the psychological time. What is the psychological time? I am saying briefly, the mind wants to accomplish or achieve so many things in the world. Which is time? Anything you want to achieve in this world requires effort, and effort is time. And the body is unable to cope up with this demand. Therefore, the suffering is created. Now you can connect the suffering to time. Then, the person is lying on the bed, he remembers the entire past, good as well as bad, but mostly bad. Good easily forgotten, but bad is always recollected. And therefore, the entire past becomes a source of suffering. The past is memory, memory is mind, which is time. And therefore, this suffering is again connected to time. And then mind imagines the future. Suppose the person is suffering from a terminal illness, suppose. And so the person is afraid of death. When is death? Death is never in the present. Because the person is alive and aware in the present. Therefore, death is always in the future. We put death in the future. Birth and death. Birth is put in the past. And we are very enthusiastic about celebrating birthdays and all that. And so we divided death from birth. Suppose you understand birth and death are together. Will you celebrate birthday? You will not. You celebrate birthday. You see, please don't give a name to me that Swami TV is opposed to birthday and all that. I am explaining the truth, the reality. By applying to the day-to-day life of our people in the contemporary society. That is all I am doing. So, do you celebrate birthday if you know very well that birth and death are together? You won't, because when birth and death are together, birthday is as good as death day. You don't want to celebrate that kind of a thing. Because you have conveniently broken up, separated birth and death. You have put birth in the past, and a recollection of it makes you very enthusiastic about birthday celebration, and you have conveniently put death in the future. You see, you are a victim of time. Don't you see that? So you have put death in the future. Death is not in the future. Death is now. Death is now. I suggest you die. You die to the time, can you? You die to the body identification, you die to the past, you die to the mine, you die to the me. Can you do that? You do that and you are free. There is freedom in death. In living, where is the freedom? You live identified with a given body, with a name, and a form with birth, death separated conveniently, a child of time, a child of time, a victim of time. Where is the freedom in that? You die to all of that, there is freedom. Anyway, you put death, coming back to the starting topic, namely all suffering connected to time. So you have to connect it like that. You have to connect it to time. You should not be like these, some of these half-baked Vedantins who talk of suffering as punya karma, papa karma, prarabdha, this and that. All of that becomes, all of it is very topical. Whereas what I am discussing is very fundamental. So you want to be satisfied with the topical, God bless you. But you want to examine things more fundamentally, then the death, by putting the death in the future, you have created the fear of death. And all of that is time. And therefore, you are afraid of death. And in the, especially so in the case of a terminally ill patient, so the patient gets demoralized just by the feeling that I am waiting for death. That simple feeling makes the person very depressed. So obviously, the person is living in the bondage of time, not physical time, the psychological time. So it is your folly to put death in the future. Don't put in the future. You put it now. So now I am dying. Let me die now. It is, death is always with reference to something. Let me die to the body. I am not the body anymore. Let me die to the past. Let me die to the fear. Let me die to the desires. This is how you can overcome the bondage of time. Therefore, the terminally ill person or patient, male or female, should realize that all the suffering that the person is undergoing has a connection to time. It is connected to time. How? Like death. And then that makes you depressed. Death in the future makes you depressed. And then a lot of uncertainty comes with it. How long will I live? When am I going to die? Will it be months, weeks, or months, or years? A lot of uncertainty. Nobody can tell certainly. Even when a cancer patient, when the cancer is recognized, they say third degree, fourth degree, etc. But nobody can pinpoint this much length you are going to live. That kind of uncertainty. Suppose you are going today on a given day, that gives, okay, let me prepare for it. That gives certainty, it gives you a sense of a rashness or a doomsday feeling it will give you, and you will be prepared for it. Let me go through it. Let me be over with it. That kind of a feeling it will give. Certainty has a way of making us comfortable. But it is uncertain. No physician can tell, no doctor can tell how long a person is going to live and all that. Assume like that. Maybe sometimes they may be able to tell. You take an example where it fits. Then that uncertainty makes you very uncomfortable and creates a lot of mental distress. That is time. Therefore, I am saying, as a patient, you suffer mostly because of time, the psychological time. And therefore, I am asking, in a way, we are all patients. The samsara itself is a disease. It is called bhava-roga, the disease of the samsaric life. The worldly life itself is a disease. And so it is an illness. A disease it is, not illness really. Illness is physical. So it is disease, and it has its origin in the ignorant mind, and therefore that mind I am connecting to time. Mind is time. Therefore I am asking you the question, I am putting this challenge. Can you step out of this process of time? What happens if I step out of this process of time? You will be liberated. And even in the case of a patient, the suffering is gone. The patient can live very enthusiastically in the present moment and take care of the physical issues. That is not a problem. Therefore, this vision that you are timeless, don't make it as part and parcel of an armchair philosophy that people whose stomachs are full, who don't have any other thing to do, they need not struggle for making both ends meet, etc. And therefore they have a lot of free time, and therefore they assemble and you teach them Atma is timeless. It is not like that. That is called armchair philosophy. That is not what I am saying. I am striving to avoid that sense from the Vedanta, to make it very practical in life. You can call it practical Vedanta. In fact, it is called, Swami Vivekananda called it Anushthana Vedanta. Therefore, what I am saying, for a worldly person, you will become free from the bondage of this samsara by stepping out of time. For a sick person, it is all the more important to be able to step out of time so that he can handle the sickness with courage and with a sense of newness of the present moment, the aliveness of the present moment. Therefore, all this I have discussed, but still I mentioned it. Yatascha nityoham atona chanyatha vikara yogehi bhaveda nityata. You see, timelessness is nitya, nityatvam. Anityata is a bondage of time. And this bondage of time brings in vikara. Vikara yogehi bhaveda nityata. They go together. Vikara. Vikara is modification, which we have seen earlier. Atma is free from modifications, whereas body-mind are full of modifications. And now you are in identifying with the body-mind, becoming a part and parcel of a process called life. You take life to be a process, which is time, and you make yourself one with it. In doing that, you have taken upon you the modification, life of modifications. So all modifications, they become you and yours. And then you are now a victim of time. Bhaved anityata. So Shankara connects the vikara, the modifications, with the time. You have to see the connection. And Atma, is it vulnerable to modifications? Or is it free from modifications? You have to understand. I told you, I gave you the example of space versus weather. Weather is open for all kinds of modifications, whereas the background space, the space that upholds the weather, is free from all modifications. That is how you have to compare Atma versus the mind and body. Mind and body are full of modifications, and they make us suffer. These modifications make us suffer. All our suffering is because of modifications only. The hair became white, therefore you become unhappy. You are not able to work as swiftly as you were able to do earlier, therefore you are unhappy. Or a person is bedridden and therefore unhappy. Therefore, so this vikara, modification, and the thing that is getting modified all the time, that is the body-mind, which is nama-rupa. And you want to identify with it, you want to put yourself into that field, the field of body-mind. Okay, you go ahead and do it. You are now a victim of time. Anityata bhaved. You cannot avoid the suffering created by time. I give you an example. Once my friend was involved in a road accident, and he was admitted into Gandhi Hospital. Those days, where private hospitals do not admit any accident patients, only Gandhi will do it. Government, those days were like that. Now you can go to private hospital also. The government has changed the stand. So he was admitted in Gandhi Hospital. Gandhi Hospital means the standard of treatment, etc., will be a bit rough and tough. And but he is. You take your time. Om. Sorry for the small interruption. So, my friend who was involved in a road accident was admitted to Gandhi Hospital. I went to see him. You know how he was? He was sprawled on the bed. The leg, there was some injury to the backbone. Some disc has slipped or whatever. And therefore, to put this backbone or some other hip bone, etc., in place, the neck bone, etc., they have put his leg like this above and put a pulley onto the leg, and the pulley is holding some weights, 5-6 kg weights. All this is to the leg and also to the head. He is sprawled on his back on the bed, and he cannot turn left or right. He has to remain on the back only. Even if bed sores comes, he has to suffer. He has to remain. And then medicines will be given. Some pulley is hanging from the head side, and another pulley from the leg side. A very painful position to stay like that. And for 15 minutes, 20 minutes you can manage. But he has to stay like that for 6 days or 7 days. Then only all these neck bones, backbone discs, etc. will fall in place. You understand this? You must have seen such things. So his wife tells me, I went and met him. His wife tells me, sir, his problem is they have given good medicines. Pain is not there. Healing is happening. Only his problem is he cannot move at all. He cannot go here and there. He cannot go to the bathroom also. He has to remain motionless, more or less, without any motion, like this, on the bed. And therefore, he has no physical issue. His issue is his mind is bothering him a lot. Please give him some advice. His wife told me. Then I sat on the bed by his side and talked with him. How are you? I am okay, but I have to remain like this for 7 days. The idea itself frightens me. That is what he tells. Then I told her, but did you ever understand that you are not the body-mind? I am not the body-mind. No, you are not the body-mind. Then what am I? You see, you look at yourself. What is mind? Mind is same as thinking, right? Yes. The thinking is known to you. Thinking is going on in your mind. It is known to you. Yes. Therefore, thinking is a movement and it is a vikara. It is in the mind. And it is known to you. The mind is known to you. Body is also known to you. All vikaras are there in the body-mind. You are not the body-mind. Then what am I? I am not the body. No. You are not the thinking. You mean I am not the thinking? No. Then what am I? I said, you are not the doing. You are the being. And in doing, all changes happen. And it is time-bound also. In being, no vikara. And no time. And you are not the doing, you are the being. You look at yourself, I told him, you look at yourself. I suggest you are the basic I am, fundamental I am. That is what you are. He said, yeah, what you say seems to make some sense. Okay, you think about it, you work on that. I'm suggesting you are not the doing, you are the being. And your fundamental essence is I am, which has no doing in it, which is only being. I am has no doing in it. It is only being. And in being, there is no time. In doing, all time is there. In vikara, time is there. In being, which is free from all vikara, there is no time. You are the being. Therefore, what you do is, whenever you are bothered by the mind, even when body bothers you, and you feel extremely bored to lie down like this hour after hour, day after day. Whenever this bothers you, it is the mind which is bothering. You remind yourself. That is the mind only. Doesn't matter. The mind has to know itself, and the mind has to guide itself, and the mind has to cure itself. And you are the witness, Sakshi. And so you remind yourself that I am not this mind. I am the pure being. And so the mantra is just be. Do means time. Move, time. Think, time. Be, no time. Just be. Being is your swarupa. Therefore you remind yourself. Be a guide unto yourself. Guide yourself. Be a guru unto yourself. I am the being. I am not the thinking element. I am not the body. I am the pure being. And see whether this can help you in the coming week of this position on this bed. So I took leave from him, said bye to his wife and other people and came out. He became normal, he was cured, and he became almost normal. The entire problem is resolved. Then his wife told me, later he also told me, Swamiji, your coming and giving that advice made life easier for him. and therefore easier for me also, because the wife has to stay there and serve him all the time. Therefore, this shift, paradigm shift, the body-mind is ever modified, and therefore in the flow of time. Body-mind is a process. It's a process. It is the flow of time. And it is ever modified. In a way, body-mind is time. Whereas, I am modificationless, no modifications in me, and therefore I am timeless. This understanding will make you free at once. That is the sentence. Let us finish that sentence. Yataha because aham ayam nityaha timeless anyatha otherwise na not at all. Yeah, I am timeless. Otherwise not at all. Means I have nothing to do with the time. Ataha therefore anyatha na otherwise not. So I am timeless and therefore I have nothing to do with the time. A simple anvaya. I am only giving anvaya to you.
He because
vikara yoge.
Vikara yoge.
In the context of associating with modifications. Anityata. Anityata means time boundness. Bhavet happens. Therefore, the moment you connect with vikara, vikara yoga, you lose your lofty position of timelessness. You are timeless. You are not otherwise. Anyatha na. So don't, unless wrongly put yourself into the time. You see, I tell you, life is a process. But you are not a process. Okay? Waking state is a process. You are not a process. Dream is a process. You are not a process. Sickness is a process. You are not a process. Therefore, you are timeless. And everything else is a process. So don't make this cardinal sin or mistake of identifying with the process. And thereby putting yourself in the flow of time. Don't make this mistake. You know why? Because. We have said that the moment you identify with the modified vikara yoga, yoga is association, which is identification. The moment you identify with the thing that is getting modified, anichyata bhavet, you have now taken over upon you the time boundedness. You become a victim of time. You lose your lofty state of timelessness. Why should you do that? You see, I tell you, you should be very careful in defining yourself, in understanding yourself. And the same statement can apply to God also. You see, because Atma is Brahma, we are Vedantins. So, the way you define Atma, the Brahman will be defined the same way. You know that? You see, our God, the South Indian, our God is a pakka South Indian. He wears kanchi silk clothes because I wear kanchi silk clothes. You know that? He likes vadai or vada because I like vada. He is offered sweets because I like to be offered sweets to myself. The God that I worship is entirely created out of my own estimation of myself. You know that? So they say God created man in his image. But the fact is, that is okay, but really speaking, man creates God in his image. And then that God creates man in his image. First you create the God, the conceptual God in your own image, and then assume that that God has created man in his image. Therefore, in understanding yourself, you make a mistake, and in your understanding of God will be influenced by that mistake. You take yourself to be the body, and therefore your God has a body. In one satsang, a student asked me, does God have a form or not? Then I asked him, I remember that because I felt, I congratulated myself for giving a nice answer, a very appropriate answer. I asked him, I will tell about God, certainly I will tell. You are asking me about God, I will certainly I tell. You tell me about yourself, do you have a form? Then he told, what has that got a connection with God? You tell me about God. Come on, you cooperate with me, I will help you to understand. But you cooperate with me. You tell me, do you have a form? You are listening to Vedanta for quite some time now, it seems. Do you have a form? No, I don't have a form. Then God has no form. Then he said, suppose I say body is my form, then God also will have a body. Your God. Because your God is modeled on your thinking of yourself. Therefore, look at yourself and connect yourself with a set of modifications. Like I was born, so God is born. And now you are creating undesirable things for the God also. You have two hands and two legs, therefore God also has hands and legs. Two or three or four, whatever. And you have all kinds of modifications of the body, therefore your God also has got all those modifications. You are not doing justice to God. You see, by putting a form for yourself, by identifying with a form for yourself, are you not denying to yourself your own essential nature of formlessness? So you are doing an injustice to yourself. And when you put a form to God, you are doing a similar thing. You are doing injustice to God, and in turn, you are doing injustice to yourself. Because, why so? Because the moment you put a form, this is God. That form is susceptible to modifications. It becomes a child of time. Don't make that mistake. Vikara yoge anityata bhavet. You don't put vikaras upon yourself because you become a victim of time. You don't put vikaras to God, then your God becomes time-bound God. That's why students should not make such cardinal mistakes or fundamental mistakes they should not do. They should understand God as the infinite, all-pervading, timeless, always present. That way they should understand God. Suppose you understand God is living in a particular place with his wife and children. Dekho. I feel shy to say that. Now you have made God a child or a victim of time, as much you and me are. Maybe he has better resources, he has better power, but still a victim of time. Therefore, this Namarupa associated with Vikara and therefore associated with time, all of that is an enormous corruption. There is no reality in all that. It is all unreal. And you want to take up all that unreal upon yourself. Don't do that. Like they give the example of Kunjara Shaucham. The elephant takes a bath in the river and comes out onto the bank. It is fresh, clean. Now it picks up all the mud with its trunk and puts on its head and shoulder and back. And becomes very muddy again. This is called Kunjara Shaucham. Don't be like an elephant like that. So you listen to Vedanta and then step out of the process of time, step out of the ever getting modified, ever modified body-mind identification, and then immediately you put aside all this Vedanta and then step back into the samsara. You should not do that. I have said enough. So enough about what? Modifications versus time. Let us look at the second line. Sada prabhatoham. That is the second line. But in the meanwhile, so sometimes I find a question here. Sometimes I find the upper mind is the witnessing awareness, Atma. You see, where is the electricity? Where is the bulb glowing? There only electricity is there. Similarly, where is Atma? Where the mind is shining, the mind is moving, and all the thoughts are in the form of knowledge. That is where Atma is there. Pratibodha viditam matam. Therefore, where the moving mind is there the Brahman or Atma is there. And you can call the moving mind as merely a movement in the background of Atma. And then you can call the Atma as the upper mind. Because the mind rises above its weaknesses and movements, etc. It becomes one with Atma, which is Brahma. It is flip-flop. Flip the mind, flop the Atma. Therefore, you can call the mind as Atma with an upadhi, and you can call the mind as Atma when it gets rid of. You can call the Atma as the mind with an upadhi, and you can call the mind Atma when it gets rid of its movement or identification. You got the point? What I mean to say is, between Atma and Manaha, the Vyavadhana, the gap is very little. It is not there, almost gapless. That's why in the Shastra, mind is called Atma in a given context with Upadhi, and Atma is called upper mind. Therefore, upper mind is Atma, the witness. So the upper mind, instead of correcting the lower mind, justifying it. That is the Vasana. The Vasana is there in the Buddhi. Buddhi is the seat of Vasanas. And so, the Buddhi is also the seat of understanding. So one part of the Buddhi understands the movement of mind and says it is bad. But, and therefore it has to be curbed. But the other part of the Buddhi, which is Vasana, tries to justify that particular movement of mind. This game goes on. That's why within you, there is the faulty mind, there is the Vasana of that mind with folly, and then there is the antasakshi, what they call, which can correct the Vasanas and also the wrong movement of the mind. All of that is in you only. Everything is in you. Only, suppose you justify the wrong thing. You have given strength to the wrong movement of the mind and you cannot overcome it. You do not justify. You need not condemn. You should not condemn also. Do not condemn, do not justify. Just watch the movement, and the movement becomes weak. It has no power. It is deprived of its energy, and therefore it will vanish. That is all you have to do. You need not put in any effort to drive away an undesirable movement. Therefore, the upper mind, instead of correcting the lower mind, justifies it. Like telling, you had no choice, it is destiny, whatever has to happen will happen. You see, some of these statements are correct only. Whatever has to happen, happens. That is a correct statement only. Destiny is a euphemism for something that is unknown. When you don't know, you see, you don't know what is going to happen or why things happen the way they happen, you don't know. So, some people have that innocence to say, I don't know. But human mind doesn't want to admit, I don't know. Therefore, it gives a name to it. Destiny. Destiny is the name given to I don't know. But when you say I don't know, it is very clear, it is innocence. But when you say destiny, it is cleverness, nothing more. So you have to come out of that cleverness. Don't worry about destiny and all that. You see, you examine whether that destiny word could mislead you. So things happen as they happen, that is true. And mind telling that you had no choice, etc., all that is unnecessary. You need not sit and curse yourself for doing a thing wrong. As long as you do not repeat a mistake, it is not even a mistake. That is a rule. So once you notice that something is wrong, you don't repeat it. And you don't justify it, you don't condemn it. So that is how you have to proceed with it. Will the Atma ever justify the mind, or is this a trick played by my lower mind? It is all play, the trick played by the mind and the vasanas all put together. Atma just provides the light. Atma doesn't justify. Atma is the witness only. The witness is also called uninvolved witness. So that takes away that question. The upper mind, which admonishes or corrects the lower mind, is it the Brahman or Chidabhasa? Not Chittabhasa, it is called Chidabhasa. You take it as Chidabhasa. Okay? Antasakshi, the conscience, they say sometimes, which corrects the wrong movement of the mind, you take it as Chidabhasa. But really speaking, the reflection of the Chit is no different from the Chit. Therefore, it is Chidabhasa. Correctly, technically speaking, it is Chidabhasa. But essentially, it is Chit which is Brahman. Therefore, don't get caught on this terminology. But if you want to do a technical answer, it is Chidabhasa. Good. One question is put aside. Then we are looking at this statement, Sada Prabhatoham. You see, I tell you, Atma is ever shining. Atma is ever shining. Ever shining means what? Suppose you see a form. See forms with eyes. Atma is shining behind. You see, you hear sounds with ears. Atma is shining behind. You pick up smells with the nose. Atma is shining behind. Similarly, with the skin, you know the sense of touch, etc., heat and cold, etc., only because Atma is shining behind. You are able to taste, know the tastes, because Atma is shining behind. You are able to think, because Atma is shining behind. And you are able to emoting power you have. You have emotions. Whatever kind of emotions you have with them, that is a power, and that is possible only because Atma is shining behind them. You have intellection. With the intellect you can understand big, big things. For example, human mind could take a rocket and go to moon. That is the buddhi. And in all that, Atma is shining behind. Okay? Your fundamental sense of I am, Atma is shining behind. Therefore, Atma is ever shining, Sada Prabhatoham. Here in Vedanta, we use a terminology, Sakrut Prabhataha, Sada Prabhataha. It shines one time. You see, moon shines and then stops shining. Dvitiya, moon shines a little and stops shining. Tritiya, he shines again a second time or a third time. Chaturthi, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, moon will be shining. So many times moon shines. How many times the sun shines? One time. When you say one time, that is not a count even. How many spaces are there? One space. Is it a count? If there are two fruits, one, two, that becomes a count. If it is one space, that one is not a count. That's why we say Advaita rather. Therefore, Atma shines only one time. Sakrat Prabhata, which is same as Sada Prabhata. To put it in a succinct way, I would say, Atma shines timelessly. Now you got it, right? Timelessness, you put it to it. Sada Prabhatah. You see, to see part, Sada Prabhatah Aham. Sada, I have explained. Now I will explain Swayam Prabhatah. That is also Atma described. Atma shines ever, and Atma shines by itself. That also we should note, because to see part, eyes and mind are needed. Eyes are open, but mind is elsewhere. There is no part knowledge. So to see part, eyes and mind are needed. Light is also needed. But to see the eyes, you have to see the eyes. You don't need light. Of course, you don't see eyes with eyes, but mind is needed. To see the mind. In dream, you see the dream, right? This you have to understand. When you see the dream, you are seeing the mind only. You go to sleep and mind wakes up halfway and then starts projecting things, a world, things and events, etc. You see all of that, right? So in dream, you see mind with the light of yourself. You are the light with your own light. You do not see the mind with mind. You see the mind with your own light. That is the Sakshat, Atma. Okay? Therefore, it is the Atma which sees the mind in dream. You can repeat that experience in the waking state by watching the mind. Okay? That is how you become a witness. And a lot more is going to come in the next verse about mind. We will discuss it further. In this verse, Sada Prabhatoham, that only, that point I am looking at. Therefore, in dream, you see the mind. What means you need to see the mind? You don't need any means to see the mind. Because Sakshat, direct, you see. Suppose you need a means, then it becomes indirect. Via the means you see. It is like via telescope you are looking at something. In the absence of telescope, you don't see. But in the dream, you see the mind. You don't need any instrument, the means to see the mind. That is Sakshat, direct perception. You have direct perception of the mind in the dream. You can do that in the waking state also, when it becomes Manovikshanam, looking at the mind, which is a beautiful meditation. Okay? Then, to see Atma, to see or to know Atma, what do you need? It is not even Sakshat, it is Sakshat Aparoksham. You have to improve upon Sakshat. Because you see mind Sakshat, and you see yourself Sakshat Aparoksham. So, Atma is Sada Prabhatam, Swayam Prabhatam. All of that is about you. You are that light. You are not this ever-changing body-mind. Sada Prabhatoham, Prabhatoham. And therefore, I am one without the second. Why one without the second? Because I am the one who sees all these modifications, who is aware of all these modifications. And whatever is getting modified is unreal. And therefore you may have a million things getting modified. It is as good as you don't have anything. You don't have anything. Okay? So what is all getting modified, do not add up to anything real. And so Atma alone, the light of that inner light of awareness alone remains. You see, you go to the movie and you see hundreds of scenes on the screen. At the end of it, all these scenes vanish. They do not add up to anything. Do they add up to something substantial? No, they do not add up. The screen alone remains. And that is Atma. Atma alone remains. In the movie theater, the screen is Advayaha. With reference to all those scenes, the screen is Advayaha. Suppose there are 50 scenes on the screen. At the end of it, how many things are there? One screen and 50 scenes. Is it so? No. Advayaha, one screen. Suppose there are 100 scenes. Now what remains? One screen plus 100 scenes? No. Maybe all these 100 scenes add up to 0.1. So 1.1. Is it so? No. They don't add up. A million scenes also do not add up. Only one screen remains. That is what I am. You look at yourself. The childhood is gone. Youth is gone. Middle age is gone. Some of you are young. The old people, they have already entered into the old age. You are like that screen on which so many scenes are projected. Are you not so? Can't you see that? So many scenes of the childhood, what happened to them? They are all gone. But you remained. I am is always there. I am is the screen on which all the childhood is projected. Childhood is gone. I am remained. The youth is projected. Youth is very funny thing it is. You cannot even understand what is this youth. And in the youth you get married also and give birth to children also. All that happened, so many very interesting scenes are projected. All of that is gone. I am remains. They do not add up to anything. Except in an ignorant mind, they do not add up to anything. Middle age is gone. So many things happened. But all of them add up to zero. In our Telugu cinemas, the Indian cinemas, they are all mostly family dramas. Indian cinemas. Hollywood may not be so much like that. Emotional dramas of the family. Family dramas. So the hero is born. In the first 10 minutes, the hero is born. And in another 20 minutes, the hero grows up. And another 20 minutes, he is in the college. And flirting with a young girl and dancing this and that. And then in another 20 minutes a villain enters. In the meanwhile interval. Interval is over, some fights this and that. The hero wins the fights and at the end of it he marries. The villain repents and apologizes and then Shubham is put. We come home. Okay? So I went in, Shubham. I am coming home, I am. So now you are left with I am or I am plus all those scenes. You are left with I am. All those scenes do not add up to anything. They add up to zero. Zero plus zero plus zero plus zero plus zero. How much? Zero, yeah? Still zero? Okay, I'll put another 20 zeros now. Can't you see that in yourself? Very simple. Aham Advayaha. I am one without the second. Why one without the second? What about all the scenes? The Vikalpa is the scene. What about all the movement of mind in life? There was movement of mind in childhood, you know that. You remember, recollect it. All that movement of mind in the childhood, the youth, middle age, what happened to all that? All that doesn't add up to something? No. Then what is all that? Asat. Asat is non-existent. If I have to give correct English translation, Sat means that which is. Asabhuvi. Allopo naha. Allopa will happen. So sat means that which is. Asat means that which is not. Okay? So all these scenes on in the movie screen, on the movie screen, they are asat. And what all you can recollect? You can recollect the scenes on the movie screen also, they are asat. You can recollect the childhood, youth, etc. All these modifications which happened in the body mind, you can recollect. All of them add up to a big zero. You see, my friend wrote an exam. In the exam, you have to answer 10 questions. He answered 10 questions. The first, the examiner, the evaluates, the professor evaluates the answer paper. I was there, he is evaluating. First question he has read and cut off, 0 marks. Like that he has covered all the 10. At the end, I am counting marks. Counting, and finally put a 0. Then he told, don't put small 0, you put a big 0. Because a small 0 means it will be confusing. You are adding up 0 plus 0 plus 0, so big 0. We call it Bandi Sunna. Sunna is 0. So how many marks he got? Not Sunna, Bandi Sunna. The Bandi is the cart, the bullock cart. It has a wheel, quite big. So the 0, which is as big as that wheel, because 10 zeros added, you know. Therefore, you alone are real, Advaya. All this mind has collected memory, etc. It all adds up to a big 0, that which is not asat. Then what is difference between mithya, asat, etc.? Some confusion could be there. I will address that in the next verse. Okay? So, all these modifications, etc. are not. They add up to a big 0. Aham Advayaha alone remain. Let us conclude that verse. Aham myself, sada always, prabhataha, brilliantly shining. Ataha therefore, he indeed, advayascha, one without the second also. Vikalpitam chapi. All that is undergoing modifications, asat, is unreal. Iti thus avasthitam, concluded. That is the conclusion. Okay? So we have covered rather elaborately modifications, time, space, myself, the pure awareness, and concluded, I am alone, I alone am, I shine always, I am the chit, the awareful being, I alone am, I am the Godhead, and I am the origin of this entire universe in which this body-mind lives. And I am the source into which the universe resolves. Aham Brahmasmi. Are, be happy, Appa. You are Brahman, be happy. This unhappiness has become an addiction. So, like coffee addiction. Whenever you don't feel good, you go to make a cup of coffee and drink it. Similarly, whenever you feel like, you become unhappy. It has become like an addiction. Come on, get out of it. Understand yourself properly and fully. And know all about yourself. And be at peace. Be happy. There is no reason to be otherwise. Good, we made progress, Appa. Yatashchanityohamato nachanyatha. Vikara yoge hi bhaveda nitya.
nityata.
It is not yogo, it is yoge, saptami, saptami. Sada prabhato hamato hi chadvayaha. Vikalpitam chapya saditya vasthitam. So that finishes the seventh verse. I assure you, eighth verse is not going to be a totally different topic or any such thing. It is about mind, and also it brings in the vision of mithya very nicely and correctly, that verse. Shankara is going to tell you what is asat, what is unreal, what is mithya, etc. So we will take up that verse in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.